with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit. Everyone that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire and they'll be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the first reading we see one of the crises in the early church, when there arose no little dissension and debate. It was much more than a question of circumcision. It was a question of how people are saved, how people are pleased, in how people please God in their relationship with Him, and how they're supposed to relate to each other. The Pharisees, even those who had become Christian, had been trained never to communicate with Gentiles. Sometimes we'll see that even here in New York, right? When certain people come over from Brooklyn of certain Jewish sects, they won't greet anybody who's not a Jew. There was a total separation, and that couldn't work in the church. Jesus had made us more brothers and sisters than we are to our blood brothers and sisters. And so Paul and Barnabas and some others went up to Jerusalem to hammer out these two questions. How are we saved? And the conclusion, as we know, would be we're saved by God, not by our own works. We're saved by faith in Christ and His work in us that we cooperate with. And then second, how we really relate to each other. We relate to each other not as Hebrews and Greeks. We relate to each other as brothers and sisters, all siblings because we have the same Father. In the Gospel, Jesus is talking about these two things, how we relate to God and how we relate to each other. He gives one of his most powerful parables, a very strong image. Earlier in the Last Supper, as we've pondered the last week or so, Jesus told us that there is a moral communion between us and God, and therefore, by that moral communion, with us and others. If you love me, you will keep my word, and my Father will love you, and we will come and make our dwelling place with you. That's through the moral action of love, we open ourselves up to a communion with the Lord, and if we're loving the Lord, we're loving our neighbor. And so there's brought about what we would call a moral koinonia. But Jesus, in this image of the vine and the branches, goes much more deeply. He talks about this ontological bond that we have by our supernature through the grace of the sacraments, that we become united with the Lord like branches on a vine, with God's own life dwelling within us. And thereby we begin to relate to all the other branches. Jesus stressed this, and he wanted to make it as powerful as possible, so that the whole church might be able to be extended throughout the entire world as branches of him who would come into the world to save. Today, as we mark 103rd anniversary of the first apparition of Our Lady into Fatima, we can look at what she did under this twofold schema. There was much division in 1917 in the world because of the growth of Bolshevik communism, the specter of National Socialism, which was dawning and about which she warned, but then also lots of problems in the church because of the threat, for example, of modernism, how so many had wandered away from the practice of the faith by all the various ideologies and just by the ordinary drifting of people who are lukewarm. So she came down and she enlisted a 7, 8, and 10-year-old as part of the solution. She wanted to connect them back to God and through them us. She wanted to teach them and us real love for neighbor. So first, the solution to all the problems plaguing the world, what she had shown them in the three visions, hell, the rise of communism, as well as the persecution of the church. The remedy for it all was consecration to her Immaculate Heart. Mary is the person most connected to Christ, the vine. She was connected to him in the womb, umbilically, but she always remained connected. It was far more than her physical relationship with the Lord that the Lord himself pointed out, but because she was always a hearer and a doer of the word, he was constantly abiding within her, even after Bethlehem. She wanted, through our consecrating ourselves to Christ through her Immaculate Heart, to begin to have a heart like hers, a heart that beat with Jesus' blood, a heart that beat in synchrony. So that was the ultimate purpose of her coming down, was to help us to learn to love the Lord and to receive his love as Jesus himself had come to call us to. But she also wanted us to take our neighbor and our neighbor's salvation deeply seriously. And she called three young children. It's always a beautiful thing to think about why she would have chosen kids. There would have been lots of people more capable, according to the ways of the world, than three kids who couldn't read. But kids don't make excuses. They don't talk themselves out of things. They don't say, this is crazy. They follow. And so as soon as Mary asked them to pray and do penance for the conversion of sinners, they did. They started to pray in the rosary every day, even if they were cheating at first. They started to wear ancient homemade cilices around their stomachs and around their legs, tying tight ropes. Francisco used to be praying on his knees in his room and weeping over the sins of those in the world, such that his father was concerned. Jacinta, when she and Francisco caught the Spanish influenza, which is frankly a little bit of a preparation for what we're going through now with the coronavirus, they suffered all the ravages of that disease, offering it for the conversion of sinners. Francisco died pretty soon. Jacinta died 100 years ago this February. And she had three ribs removed without anesthesia. She wasn't complaining. And when one of the nurses asked her how it was even possible that she wasn't crying as a result of this, she said, I had a very good teacher, meaning Our Lady. Our Lady's chief message there was, to use Jesus' parable, to attach us to him, the vine, through her heart, and then to recognize that there are many people who are severing themselves from that vine in this world and forever. And that our real, in the church's real mission is, as great horticulturists, to attach them back to Christ, that vine. Today, as we celebrate this Mass, we remember that we become attached to the Lord and nested in him at every Mass. I always remember the seminary in Rome where I prayed for 5 years and where I celebrated Mass. The marble on the floor always communicated this message. It's a deep vine color, a dark grape color, marble in the sanctuary that intercalated all the way through the pews between that color, which I'm guessing was purple, and a white marble. And when you would bring visitors into the North American College to give them a tour, as I did many times, I'd ask them what they thought this symbolized, and nobody could really pick it up, but it was the vine and the branches, that Jesus the vine comes and attaches himself to us in the Mass, and his very life begins to flow through us, and in us we're supposed to grow and extend his love throughout the world. In response to the no little dissension and debate that afflicted the early church and afflicts the church in the world in almost every age, the solution is what Jesus teaches us today in the gospel. And Mary came 103 years ago, not only to remind us of this truth, but to help us to live it.